Open your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we'll continue on with our series in the book of Galatians, going verse by verse, topic by topic, as we go book by book through the New Testament. Give us guidance and direction in this life. And we've come to an aspect of who the Holy Spirit is. You know, last week we talked about our worship is leaving God-centered, and it's becoming more man-centered. We're becoming useless in the world, and we've chosen to be pragmatic. We're doing programs and things in our church, just whatever seems to work. So let's do that. And we don't rely on the Holy Spirit anymore, who has been given to us by God. We have tremendous power in the Holy Spirit, and not many tap into that power to be used. And Paul says, if you have were begun in the Spirit, you must continue on in the Spirit. And I think a lot of folks don't even realize, think, or know what that means. And we've missed a lot of what the Holy Spirit does in the world, in our lives. And so let me get you caught up in a few things. Let me give you some things that the Spirit of God does. In John chapter 16, verse 8, Jesus says, and when he has come, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, said, it's advantageous for me to leave, because if I don't go, I won't send the Comforter. I won't send the Holy Spirit. He said, so it's better for me to leave. And so when I go, he will come, and he is the Holy Spirit. And he says, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. So why do we try to get people to convict them of their sins? It's not my job, is it? It's not my job to convict you of your sin. All my job is to preach the truth of God's word. Amen? Amen? It's the Holy Spirit of God. It's his job to convict the world of sin. I just tell you the truth. And when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, it will transform your life. Amen? He'll do the convicting. Stop trying to browbeat people and to convict them of their sin. It's the Holy Spirit's job. As we go through some of these things, I tell you what, if I wasn't such a studier of the Scriptures, I tell you, I'd be a Calvinist. Because there's a lot of Scripture that point to sovereignty of God in a way that sometimes even I don't understand it. But let me give you another aspect that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit leads us to repentance. That's amazing. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, Paul says this. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant repentance, that they may know the truth. You know, the Holy Spirit has been given to us as called the Spirit of Truth. And so he reveals truth to us. He is that Spirit who gives us that. But he also allows us the repentance. In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, Luke writes this. When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. God grants repentance. So it is the Spirit of God. We preach the truth. We give the world the gospel. We give them the truth. And the Holy Spirit of God convicts them. And through that conviction, you have a choice to repent. He's granted you repentance. Now, when you recognize you're a sinner, now you can turn from your sin. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will give you that repentance to turn from it. And once you turn from that sin, by faith, you place your trust in what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? Amen? And then as Jesus said, now you're born again, John chapter 3, verse 6, talking to Nicodemus, telling you got to be born again. And in John chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So not only does the Spirit of God convict you, now he grants you repentance, and now you are born again. And it's not a single thing you did. Amen? Amen. How amazing is that? Isn't our God awesome? Amen. How come we don't do some awesomer stuff back for him? Awesome. What is that, Rob? Most awesomest?
Don't ever say that word.
Thanks, sir.
You'll never forget, Rob.
Now Rob made me forget where I was. So, once you get saved, God does some amazing, awesome things in you and through you. Let me go through some of that. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter is proclaiming. Am I losing my voice? Hopefully. Bible says to get your house in order. I'll bring my wife into subjection. Next week, if she has two eyes, you know, never mind. Okay, let's redirect. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Luke writes this. When Peter was speaking, he says, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." Not for the remission of, you don't get baptized to have remission of sin. It's the context of the Greek in our English. It doesn't sound proper. So you have to go back to the original. But he says, be baptized because you have already received remission of sin. You get baptized, it's a picture of your salvation, right? And that's what he's talking about. So you get saved, you get baptized immediately, and then you shall receive a gift. You know what? God gives you a gift. You know who that is? It's the Holy Spirit. God gives us a gift. Not only does he convict us of sin, but then he brings us to repentance, and then he gives us new birth. Paul talks about it in Titus 3, verse 5, talks about regeneration. That's the new birth. And now we get a gift from God, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen? Romans 8, 9 says the same thing. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anybody doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. How do you know if you're saved? You got the Holy Spirit. Amen? Okay. Once you accept Christ, God gives you a gift. And that's the Holy Spirit. How awesome is that? Now, guess what? Your body's not your own. Now it belongs to God. Because now you're a new creature. And God needs a place to dwell. He doesn't dwell in buildings, Paul talks about in Acts chapter 17. He dwells in people. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul says this. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You're bought with a price. And then he goes on to say, glorify God in your body. Right? He did the convicting. He did the repentance. He gave the new birth. He gave the regeneration. Now he comes and he gives you the Holy Spirit. He indwells you. Now your body is his place of dwelling. Take care of your body. Amen? Amen? All right. So, since the Holy Spirit is a gift from God to us, now the Holy Spirit indwells us, and guess what? The Holy Spirit gives you gifts. Did you know that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 through 7, Paul says, there are diversities of gifts. There's all kinds of different gifts, but it's the same Spirit that gives them. There are different ministries for you to use those gifts in, but you're all doing it for the same Lord. There's diversities of activities, but it's the same God who is working all in all. The Holy Spirit who indwells all believers, and if you have the Holy Spirit, you've been given a gift, and God wants to work in every one of his children. And now listen to this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given. God gave his Spirit to each one for the profit of all. Do you know that you've been given a gift so that you can serve in the church and glorify God in the body of Christ? Did you know that? I hope you do, because that's why I gave you a gift. Do you know what your gift is?
I don't know what a gift is. I don't know what's that.
Okay, well, let me give it to you. Matt says that I spoil you guys too much. He says that I give you guys too much so you don't have to do any work. Well, doggone it, when you get to heaven, you're going to be six times as accused because I just made it too easy on you. So in the Bible, there's all kinds of spiritual gifts. Next slide, please. Okay, so there's a happy little bald guy saying hi. This is our church website, in case you didn't know. And on our church website, right up there by the give button, the little green give button, is a resource button. You click on that resource button, and this page comes up. All these ones that are blue, all kinds of resources that are on there. It's got some great, wonderful information. And it'll answer a lot of questions that a lot of people have. Please look those up and use them. But right below there in the black circle is member resources. You have new members to show you what it takes to be a new member and why we have a membership. even though it's not said in the Bible, emergency action plan, spiritual gifts survey. That's this one right here. It's been out there in that information booth for a couple of years. I leave it out there for people that don't know their gifts. There's about 100 questions on there. You take that, you answer it honestly, you fill out the chart, and it'll tell you what your gifts are. Kind of give you an idea. It's not exact. It's not perfect, right? Nothing is perfect. But it'll kind of give you an idea of where you're at. You know, when I took this, you know what mine was? Teaching and preaching. Man, I better go be a preacher. Amen? Nobody? No. All right. So once you click on the, you can download those yourself. You can print those off yourself. You can have them themselves. You can have them right back there. They're for your use and privilege. And so once you do that, then you need to click on the other one. Next slide, please. Thank you. This is a spiritual gifts reference chart. It has all the gifts, the gift of administration, the gift of discernment, encouragement, evangelism. The list goes on and on and on. And so it tells you the definition of what that means. It tells you where the scriptural reference is that it's found. It tells you the distinctives. It tells you the traits, what to look for. And you can look for this in other people. Matter of fact, this is a great thing to do when you're doing the discipleship program. That way you can go through the gifts and you can explain to people what their gifts might be so you can tell them where that they should serve in the church, the group of people. Remember, Paul said that God gave you the spiritual gift so that you can serve all in all. It's for God's people. And we're to use it as such. Not only here, but in the world. And so here is a chart to tell you all these things and give you an encouragement of where to serve. So here's the idea. The Spirit of God has given everybody a gift. All right? Are you using your gift? God gave you a gift to serve in the church. Are you serving in the church? Are you using your gift? Do you know your gift? Do you know anything about it? Because I'm going to tell you right now, some people aren't using their gifts. Unfortunately, we have to ask people for the children's ministry, for nursery, for all kinds of programs, things. We need volunteers. We need stuff all the time. And it's hard to find anybody. Amen? God gave you a gift to serve the people in the church so that when the whole body of Christ is working and doing what it's supposed to, the world out there looks at the church and goes, holy mackerel, these guys are awesome. You go back to the Old Testament. We don't have time to do it now. But you go back to the Old Testament, and you see, you remember the Queen of Sheba when she come to see Solomon? You remember that story? Anybody know the story? Yeah, look, raise your hand if you heard the story. Okay, a few of them. Some of the older folks, that's okay. I was talking to them back there. I was talking to them up here. So here's the idea. The Queen of Sheba, she comes to see Solomon because she heard that his God was awesome. She heard that he had the wisdom from his God and that everything was so wonderful with the Jewish God, Jehovah. And she come to see all of the splendor of his God. And the Bible says when she came and saw the wisdom of Solomon, when she saw the servants, now pay attention, the servants and how they served in his kingdom. Do you see that? Do you understand? You follow what I'm saying? She saw everybody doing what they were supposed to do, and the Bible says it took her breath away. You want to take the breath away of the world? Everybody use the gift that God's given them in the church to serve one another here. That's why everything starts in the church. I'm sorry, man. I'm just giving you the Bible. All we want to do is come in here and go, well, we got to do all this wonderful stuff out in the world. No, we make the church awesome. Because when people look and go, man, you guys take care of one another. Man, you guys love one another regardless. Man, you guys are one. Man, you're all serving and doing stuff. Wow, what makes you different? The Holy Spirit that lives in me, because he gave me a gift and I'm allowing him to work through me. Amen. You want the Holy Spirit to come live in you? Well, let me tell you, do you recognize you're a sinner? Because the Bible says all are sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Now I've just given them the truth, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict them. Now they have the gift, the repentance, right? And it's up to them to make a decision to turn. Isn't that awesome? Whew. That's how we're supposed to do it. Everybody has been given a gift. You need to know what that gift is, and you need to use it in the church. And I think I messed that one up, and the staple come out. But if you need these, and they're out there, you can have this one. Come up and get it after the service. Download it online. Do something. Do something. Be used of God. I think we miss so many blessings. Why do we use our gifts? Why do we do what we do? Why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? Because God has taken everything out of eternal life. Do you have to worry about eternal life? I don't. I accepted Jesus Christ, and now I have the Holy Spirit. And now, you know what? Until God calls me home, I can do whatever I need to do in this life, and it won't have no effect on me. Do you know that's how Paul did it? You know, when they took him outside the city and they stoned him, you know what he did? Go back in there. Yeah, no problem, God. Let's get him. And he got right back up and went right back in the city and began to preach. When you are filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, nothing in this life will bother you. Because, and let me give you this, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Paul says this, in whom you have trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, once you accept Christ, you believe, now you're saved. The Bible says you are sealed. Remember that word. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the guarantee? Remember that word. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise and of his glory. Now, as I said, those two words I want you to see. The first one is sealed. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That word sealed is the idea in the Greek is only the authority can seal it, and only an authority can unseal it. It is an unbreakable seal. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us as an unbreakable seal until our redemption is fully met in eternity. Do you see that? You see a picture of this in Revelation chapter 5 when Jesus has the scroll, the title deed to the universe. And there's seven seals on it, right? The seven seals of Revelation 6. Well, in the Revelation chapter 5, they're trying to figure out who can undo the seal. And it's only God. Only God can undo it. And here's the idea. If God sealed it, he's not going to unseal it. Amen? What a beautiful picture we have. So it takes the worry out of working in this life for the Lord. Because we know we're sealed till the day of redemption. God's going to work everything out. So get busy. Amen? The other word is guarantee. He is the guarantee of our inheritance. I think the King James uses the word earnest. He is the earnest of our expectation. You ever heard the word earnest? I think it's an old school word. Best I can come up with possibly would be, you remember Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol? Remember old Scrooge? Remember that? It's a classic. It comes around at Christmas time. I'm losing some of you. Don't start snoring on me yet. So at the end of it, he wakes up. The three spirits have already done their job. And it's Christmas day. And he goes up and he lifts the window and he goes, young boy, what day is it? And he goes, oh, it's Christmas day. And he goes, oh, gosh, they did it all in one night. He goes, do they still have the turkey down there in the butcher shop? And they go, the one as big as me? Yeah, that one. Do they have it? He goes, yes. And he goes, good. Go down there and buy it for me. What? You could. You're miserable, stupid idiot. I'm out of here. And so he gets ready to run away. And if you remember, he goes, no. I'm in earnest. And then he goes, oh, okay. Yeah, I'll go buy it. So what changed? It's that word earnest. It's the idea that he was a guarantee that this little kid was going to get paid. And he's like, bring back the butcher in less than 5 minutes. I'll give you half a crown. And he's like, and he shoots off. You ever bought a house and put down earnest money? You know what that's for? You put down earnest money so they can't sell that house out for money. You're guaranteed to buy that house. Amen? Okay, so now you see the beautiful picture here. So when the Holy Spirit, a gift from God, is given to us, we're guaranteed heaven and eternal life. Amen? Amen. Let me give you another one, because this is even better. And I like this one even better. That word guarantee, or in the King James, earnest, is the word aragon. And it is the Greek word that means, is also translated, engagement ring. Isn't that awesome? The Holy Spirit is our engagement ring that one day we're going to be married to Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And let me tell you something. Unfortunately, people go back on their promise in this life today. But if Jesus went back on his promise, he'd be a liar. And I'm so glad that the Bible says God cannot lie. Amen. So it takes the worry out of life. It takes everything. If the Holy Spirit gave birth to you, he regenerated you, and he's going to use you until the day that you look just like Jesus and be perfect. It takes the worry out of life. So get busy living it. All right, we got to get into our text. Let's get into our text here. If you're in Galatians chapter 3, matter of fact, let's stand. You're falling asleep on me. Everybody stand if you can stand and you're able. We're going to read the Word of God. Go a little old school here. I'll have somebody open with prayer, and then you can sit down. I stand the whole time, so I have no sympathy for you. In Galatians chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 6 through 9, Paul writes this. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. The first five verses, he said, you were born of the Spirit, and now you're not going to work all this stuff out in the flesh. So our faith is in God. And so once you have faith, you continue with that faith. It is your faith of walking in the Spirit that allows all these things to happen. Now he goes back and gives an Old Testament principle, Abraham. Abraham did no works to do anything. All he did was believe God. And that's what we do. We sing the hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. And that's what walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit is all about. We need to use and tap into the power that has been given to us. Okay, he goes on to this. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Tom Craft, would you open us in a word of prayer and we'll get into our study. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Unless you want to stand the whole time like I do. Nobody? Miserable creeps. Okay. So Paul's whole point here is that everything that's relevant to your life is by faith. It's all by faith. And so we live by faith. We walk by faith. Everything that we do is by faith. If we're walking by faith, we're walking in the Spirit. Amen? So we need to understand and we need to know what the Spirit is going to do. So if you were born of the Spirit that had nothing to do with you, and now your sanctification process is the process by which the Holy Spirit makes you look more like Jesus, and you're not going to do that in the flesh, it can only be in the Spirit, it's got to be by faith. So when Abraham went up the mountain, it was by faith. He's going to sacrifice his son, right? He said, yeah, God's going to provide. I ain't got no worries. Right? Just like Paul, right? So how much faith do you have? Where are you at in your walk with the Lord? Man, we've been given so much power. All right, so in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to have control of your life. Matter of fact, in Galatians 5, 16, he says this. And by the way, that's when we'll probably get into the tattoos and gambling and the alcohol and all that stuff when we get to Galatians 5, because it addresses those issues, and so we'll spend an extensive amount of time on that. So all you drunks want to come and see what the Bible has to say, you're more than welcome to. Here's the idea. Walking in the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's where we need to live. We need to live in the Spirit. By faith in God, trusting in His promises, and living that way for life. How do I do that? What does the Spirit supply me? Let's get into some of those things. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says this, my God shall supply all your need. Do you know who all the needs are in our life is? It's already been supplied. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. He has supplied everything that we need for this life. If you would just tap into the Holy Spirit of God, you'd have all the resources that you need. Most of the time, we do things pragmatically, right? You remember that? Remember the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily. When's the last time you asked God to give your daily provision? Because you don't. You get up, you know what you do. You know what I do? I get up every Sunday morning, I shave, I go to church, I prepare my message, I wait till this time, I do this, I go home. Monday, start the process all over. I know exactly what I'm doing every day. But you need to rely on the provision and the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you live life pragmatically? Or do you wake up every day saying, God, there is a provision that only you can provide for me in this day, and I need to walk in the Spirit so that He is working through me, not me doing it myself. Amen? We make dumb decisions. And why? We've been given wisdom. Right? Isn't that what James 1:5 says? It says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to everybody generously and without reproach, and it'll be given. Matter of fact, Jesus said the exact same thing in Matthew 7:7. Ask and it'll what? It'll be given. Absolutely. You know the problem is? There's twofold. Problem is we don't have. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, he says this. You don't have because you don't ask. When's the last time you asked God for wisdom? We live pragmatically. We can do it on our own. Right? And then secondly, you ask and you don't get because you ask amiss so that you can spend it on your pleasures. You ask with wrong motives. We're to do everything for the glory of God, right? And most of the times we ask for wisdom in a decision so that it can benefit us, right? We don't even think about the kingdom half the time. It's what we can get out of it. Remember Jeremiah 17:9? What is our heart? Deceitful and desperately wicked. Oh, how soon we forget. Amen? Only one of you got that. Awesome. Listen. God did not give us the spirit of fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. We've been given the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is of power, love, and of a sound mind. We need to use the power that has been given to us. And the greatest power that we have is knowing the Scriptures. The Scriptures give us everything that we need for this life. And the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit of truth, He will teach us all things. And you need to tap into that Spirit. And I think this is one of the greatest ways that we neglect using the Holy Spirit of God. Let me explain. When we talk about the Holy Spirit teaching us, what He does is, a better way is that He illuminates the Scripture. Now, there's two words let me give you. One is revelation and one is illumination. Revelation is God revealing something to us that has never been revealed before. For example, in the New Testament, Paul talks about the church. The Old Testament never talked about the church, but the New Testament does. The Old Testament never talked about the rapture, but the New Testament does. And so a revelation is something that God reveals that has never been known before. So according to that definition, we don't have anything that we need to be revealed. God has revealed everything that we need for this life, right? Amen? 2 Peter 1:3, we've been given God's divine nature and we need everything for this life and godliness. And then we found it in His Word. But we need to be taught it. And I don't think we're taught it because a lot of people don't know the illumination and the power that the Holy Spirit has in teaching us. Now let me give you a little precursor to this because somebody's going to mistake what I'm saying. In Ephesians chapter 3, I believe. You'd have to look that up. Don't take my word, take God at His, but you have to work. It's either Ephesians chapter 3 or 4. But anyway, God says that Jesus, when He died, He went down into the earth, took those who were in paradise, led captivity captive, took them home to heaven, because now He purchased the price, and so took them home to heaven. And so anybody that died from that moment forward would go straightly to heaven. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so when He went to heaven, He gave gifts to men. Some to be pastors, some evangelists, some prophets, some teachers. So we say, oh, I don't need a mortal man to teach me. Well, God's given the gift of teaching to people to teach people. Amen? We need people to teach us. And so Paul says in Timothy, he says, teach others so that they may teach others as well. So we need people to teach us. But here's the idea. When you're trained up in the Word of God, The Holy Spirit will illuminate the truth of the Scripture so that you can recognize falsehood. Amen? Okay. Now, with that in mind, John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, he says this, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." We have an anointing. What's the anointing? Well, in 1 John 2:27, he tells us. He says this, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you." Who abides in us? Holy Spirit. So who's the anointing? Holy Spirit. Awesome. Okay. And you don't need that anyone teach you. But the same anointing, the Holy Spirit, teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and he is not a lie, and just as it has been taught you, you will abide in him. Now, we go back and talk about our communication with God, and I think we've got our communication messed up. Prayer is how we talk to God. His word is how he talks to us. The main way, anyway, there's other ways that God speaks to us, but the main way is through his word. So if you talk to God, and you have no answer in reply, are you in his word? And if you're in his word, are you filled with the Spirit so the Spirit can give you truth and understanding? That's the anointing. I love that word anointing. Actually, it's from the Greek word that means ointment. It means ointment. It's chrisma. And it means ointment. Anointing. Anointing oil. Ointment. I think the King James uses the word unction. But I like the word ointment better. Because when you put ointment on something, it goes on you and then absorbs in you. Right? And that's what the Holy Spirit is. Man, you have the anointing from God, and the anointing is on you, and he's in you. And that's why Paul says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And you're studying the word of God, and it becomes on you and in you. And somebody cuts you, and you're going to be bleeding Bible verses, and you're going to be living the word of God. Amen. Okay, let me get back. So, it is the Holy Spirit of God who teaches us. He is the anointing that shows us all things from God's word. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 1:21, Paul says this, "Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God." God is the one that gives us understanding. Matter of fact, Jesus was anointed with the same Spirit. Do you know Jesus was anointed with the Spirit of God? In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Luke writes this, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with who? The Holy Spirit, and with what?" Okay, the same Holy Spirit that God gave to Jesus Christ to anoint him with power is the same Spirit you have today. Did Jesus do some awesome, amazing things? Sure did. Can you do the same top? Well, for the most part, you're not going to raise yourself from the dead, I'll just tell you that. But by the power of Jesus, who since he raised himself from the dead, now I'll be raised from the dead, amen? But you still have some awesome divine power that's in you. Tap into it. Use it. Now let me give you some important information. I want you to understand this because this has to deal with the church and our training and why we do what we do here. So in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, Peter says, "But to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you." Now listen, by what? So how do you preach the gospel? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that's been given to you is how you preach the gospel. That's how you preach with power. That's how Peter and James and John and all the apostles spoke with boldness. And that's why the Pharisees were like, "These guys are unlearned. How are they speaking with power and authority?" They said, because the Holy Spirit spoke through them. That's my prayer, is that the Holy Spirit of God speaks through me. I don't want to be entertaining. I want to speak the truth of God's word so that the Spirit can give you understanding. Amen. So that you know that I'm not false teaching. And when you agree with that and you say, "Truly, truly," and you go, "Amen, amen." And that's encouragement to know that you know what I'm talking about. Amen? Amen. Okay, now we're on the same page. Now, with that said, so we talk about prayer is how we speak to God and his word is how he speaks to us mainly. And so we need to understand what God's word has to say. So, we want to make sure that it's the Spirit speaking, because as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8, he says this, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known that, they would not have crucified our Lord, the Lord of glory. In verse 10, he goes on to say this. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. So, we know that it's the Spirit that searches all this stuff and gives us understanding so that we can understand all this deep stuff of God. And in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11 and 12, through 12, Paul goes on to say this. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man that's in him? The fleshly stuff, the psychiatrist, the stuff, the man-centered stuff, that's all that man knows is the spirit that's in man. So even so, with that example, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, right? Spirit of Antichrist. We don't have that spirit, but we have the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, this is what I want you to see. This is the most important, verse 13 and 14. Paul says, these things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Who is church for? It's for the saved people. It's for saved people to come in here and get understanding from the Word of God. Now, if an unsaved person comes in here, we will love them, we will encourage them, we will do everything that we possibly can. But when you are given spiritual principles from the Word of God, can an unsaved person understand those things? Why? Because he's not born of the Spirit, right? How can you understand spiritual things if you're not born of the Spirit? That's why a lot of people come in here confused. A lot of people attend church their entire life and have no clue what the pastor's talking about, because they don't have spiritual understanding. Only those that are born of the Spirit can understand the spiritual things. Amen? Okay. So church is for the saved people. We will love people and come in, and we will encourage them, and we will try to explain to them what we're talking about and all that stuff, but we'll use it as an opportunity to witness to them. It's wonderful. That's why our church revolves around church people, not unsaved people. Because that's what the church is designed for. So that you can be trained up in the Word of God so that the Holy Spirit can give you illumination to what God has to say. Amen? All right. Now, the Word of God is... Well, let me give you this. Psalm chapter 19. I love how the psalmist writes this, because listen to what he talks about the Scripture, the Word of God. It's the law, it's the testimony, it's... the statutes, the commandments, all this stuff. It's talking about the Word of God. Listen to this. He says, the law of the Lord is perfect, and it converts the soul. Because when you read the Word of God, when you give the gospel, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to convict him. And then he'll get converted because the Spirit will grant him repentance. Amen? Amen? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And then he goes on to say, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, more than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and by them, in keeping them, there's great reward. That's an amazing thing. Understanding the Scriptures. If you are in the Spirit will make the Scriptures come alive. That's why a lot of people fall asleep, because they're not walking in the Spirit. They're in the flesh, and they're trying to understand the Word of God, and then there's nobody in the room. And they're done. They've checked out. When you're in the Spirit of God will make the Scriptures come alive. And that's all you need. That's all you need for life. Well, once we get to the kingdom, you're in the kingdom. Do you know you're in the kingdom? Well, yeah, one day I'll have peace and joy and I'll be with Jesus. Now, wait a minute. This is what Paul says the kingdom is. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, he says this. The kingdom of God is not. It's not eating. It's not drinking. Do you know Jesus Christ ate after his resurrected body? Not because he had to. Just wanted to enjoy it. At the Last Supper, he said, I'm not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in God's kingdom. He doesn't need it. He's just drinking for the enjoyment of it. And so we need to have food. We need to have drink. We need to cover our body because of the nakedness and the sin back in the beginning. Go back and read Genesis 1 and 2. You'll find that out in 3. And so God knows we need these things. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, food and fashion. God knows you have need of all these things. You don't need to pray to God that you have need of this stuff. God knows it. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God all about? Righteousness, peace, and joy. In who? The Holy Spirit. Remember I told you got heaven and eternal life? You are sealed and you're guaranteed eternal life. Live in that joy. Got joy? Most of us don't, because we lose the salvation, the eternal security we have, that nothing that happens to us in this life is going to take us away from the kingdom. And we don't live here. We live in the food and the drink and the job and this, and I have to do this, and pragmatically whatever works, and we got to do this. If you were all in tune with the Holy Spirit, this world would see something that it's never seen before. It has. It's caught a glimpse of it. Man. Joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Let me give you this and we'll be done. You need to live in the presence of God. We talked about that. And Jesus is all we need. The presence of God, Jesus is all you need. And we sing that. Jesus is all you need. Amen? Do you believe that? Amen. Then why do we look for that in anything else? Jesus is all you need. Now, in the presence of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Christ, is all we need. Let me explain that. Let me say it again. You need to live in the presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, Paul says this. Jesus came to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic, and father is the Greek word pater. It's where we get our English word paterology, paternity ward. It's fatherhood. It's father. So it's an endearment term, even in the Aramaic and the Greek. And so what Paul is saying is that the Spirit of God has been given to us so that we can be adopted into God's family as His children. So then we can cry out, just like Jesus did, to the Father. And that is an endearment term so that we can say, Daddy, Daddy. Hey, Dad, thanks for saving me. Thanks for sending my brother. Because Jesus, not only is He my King, but He is my brother. We sang that in As the Deer. Do you remember that verse? Oh, it's so wild. I love that song so much. But listen, he goes on to say this in verse 7. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if you're a son, you're an heir with Christ. Heir of God through Christ. And then verse 9, he says this. But now after you have known God, or rather, you are known by God. Do you know when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now you're known as a child by the Father. Amen. That is a beautiful thing to live. You are now sons and daughters, and sonship means access to the Father. Sonship means intimacy with God the Father. Daddy, Daddy. And that's where we should live. Paul says the same thing in Romans 8, 14 and 15. He says this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. Oh, Dad. So the Holy Spirit has been given to us to give us access to God through intimacy with Him. Do you want joy? Do you want to know how to live? You want to know how to walk? You want to know how to be happy? Be satisfied? It's in the presence of God the Father. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus. Psalms 27 verse 4 says this. Psalmist says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. What do you want? One thing? What is it? He said, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. All I need is just to be in Your presence, Dad. Psalm 73, verse 25 says this. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside you. I just want to be in your presence, Dad. I just want to be with you, Dad. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. We sang this. This is beautiful. I love this. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for the God, for the living God. Do you desire to be in the presence of God? Do you desire to be there? Do you have any desire to be in the presence of Jesus? Man, you know what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5? He said this in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're going to be filled. You want to be in the presence of God? You'll be there. You'll be filled up to the top. What a way that's going to be. How awesome will that be? And this verse right here, it would sum it all up. That Jesus is all we need to be in the presence of God, everything. This sums it all up. Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. Dad, if I'm in the kingdom, I have joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. I'm in your presence. That's all I need. That's where we need to live, folks. That's where Paul was. When he got stoned, he could get up and go back into the city because he was in the presence of the Father. And nothing that happened to him in this life bothered him. Folks, to live in the presence of God is all we need. This is kind of why the church has become a little useless. We've forgotten about this. We're pragmatically living whatever works, and we've forgotten about being filled and controlled with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, and we stopped praying. But more importantly, we know very little about living in the presence of God. We have access every second of every day, but very few live in fellowship with God the Father. Instead of showing the world peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is the kingdom, we give them a quick fix. We give them a program. We give them... The world don't need another program. The world's got all the self-help programs it can stand. It lives in pragmatism. We don't need another program. We need to show the world living in the presence of God is the only thing they need. Not only do we need to show them the truth, outside of just telling them, we need to live it. Because your actions speak louder than words. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for our time this morning. And we just thank you, God, for everything that you do in and through our lives. And we forget sometimes, just because of life, how things are just so... We try to do things in our flesh, and we forget about you, and we forget where we're supposed to live, and... God, may you redirect our hearts and minds back to you. And Father, I pray if there's someone here that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior, that maybe they've never been born of the Spirit. They've never been convicted. May your Spirit do that this morning. May today be the day of salvation. Whatever your children's needs are, Father, may they leave them at the foot of the cross. Jesus said, in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for us. We know your Son cares for us, and he'll meet our needs through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may we know this stuff. Whatever the need, as the invitation, we pray, Father, you just have your way. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.